Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. Do you believe that God's timing is perfect? In our minds, most probably answer yes to that question. But in reality, we often think that the Lord is too slow. A big problem is we don't like waiting, and the Lord often tells us to wait upon Him. But waiting on the Lord is different than most of the waiting we do. Waiting on the Lord involves being active in the work of the kingdom of God until the Lord fulfills His promises, especially the promise of the return of Jesus Christ. This is something the Lord talks about in James chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jim in part 2 of his message. The Lord is coming. Be patient.
So having talked about the oppressive rich people in the last section, remember those wealthy landowners that were cheating people, notice the command here. It's not a suggestion. It's not like, hey, this will make you a little bit happier. It's a command. He says, be patient. Now that is a very tall order in American life, isn't it? I mean, my goodness. People, I'm old enough to remember dial-up internet. But now if they get one little spin thing or the internet's not working right, they completely freak out, or if their phone's not working right, or they're somewhere where there's no phone service, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? And we do not do well with patience in any situation, especially when there's any suffering involved. I mean, we just do not like to suffer. And notice James here is not like, well, be patient for the next hour or so. Maybe two, just be patient. It's going to happen like when you're waiting to eat in a restaurant and everybody's getting hangry. Well, I guess we don't have much of that going on right now, but people are getting hangry and cranky and all that. And everybody, be patient. You know, the person comes along, just another few minutes. You're like, that's what you said 30 minutes ago. But that's not what this is here. He says, be patient when? Until the coming of the Lord. In other words, James is saying to us, God's people in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, meaning with God's help, are to live a lifestyle of patience, a lifestyle of restraint. We might say, don't be overzealous in having to have your own way. Don't be overzealous in fighting for your own rights. Instead, if you want to fight a better fight, fight for your faith to survive. Now, he says here, for the coming of the Lord, there's a word that you might see sometimes when you're reading and you're like, I don't know what that word means. People pronounce it a few different ways. It's the word parousia. And that simply means it describes, originally it was a word that described the coming or arrival of a king or a dignitary. In other words, James is saying, be patient until the arrival of the king, until he gets here. So this is a calling to patience. It's not a calling to revolution, because largely, now I'm not saying that there's not revolutions when there's extreme political oppression, but let me please put the emphasis on the word extreme, because revolution, if we're not careful, loses the mission, loses the gospel of repentance and faith, loses the ability to share the love of Christ. It can happen. The Lord's coming is what will bring the revolution. The Lord's coming is what will bring the Lord's vengeance, and not His impatient, hot-tempered people. And so we have to be very, very careful of that. The second coming of Jesus will be a global cataclysmic event. That day will come, and knowing that day will come, looking forward to that day, to His blessed appearing, we can wait patiently. Did you hear what I said? We can wait patiently. So James reminds them how the ancient world farmer does this. What happens is they would sow the seed in September or October, And then the reason they would do that was because in later October, November, what they called the early rains would come. That's at the very end of verse 7. The early rains would come. And yet, and during that time, in between the early rains, the latter rains were in March and April, maybe even a little bit into May. But during that time, the farmer still works the land. He doesn't just plant the seed and go take a vacation and come back in the spring and hope that things are better. He works the land for a follower of Yahweh, for a follower of Jesus. He prays and he trusts the Lord that the Lord will bring those latter rains. Because if there's no latter rains, there's not going to be a crop. But no matter what the farmer does, no rain, no crop. Now, Old Testament Bible readers would hear this, and we know that James's audience is largely a Jewish audience that he's writing to at the time. We covered that at the beginning. They knew that rains were equal to the faithfulness of God. They knew that they were one and the same. I'll pick an Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 14. The Lord says, "And it shall be, if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." So God promises his people, if you love me, if you serve me, if you obey me, I will be faithful to show up. I will bring the rain and you will have an abundant harvest. Now, something interesting here in the choice of words, and sometimes the choice of words that the apostles, the Bible writers use, we have to really look at them very, very carefully. The farmer waits for, look what he says here in verse 7, the precious fruit. Now, at our house, we have a fruit bowl. And maybe I'll have to start doing this. Hun, if you're watching, maybe I'll have to start doing this. When you buy fruit, maybe I'll have to walk up to the fruit and say, "Well, hun, I love you, but this fruit is so precious." We don't really think of fruit as being precious, do we? We think of a baby's being precious or something we have as being precious, but not necessarily fruit. What does that mean? It means that the second coming of Jesus is particularly special and precious to James. Now, again, not weird precious, not like Schmeagol in Lord of the Rings, like my precious, not like that at all. No, the second coming, certainly something that James is telling us is absolutely worth waiting for. Even more, if the second coming is precious to us, we will wait well. If we keep that in mind, we keep that out in front of us, we will wait well. And we will be engaged in active waiting. We will be engaged in the work of waiting. Now, that does not mean that waiting will always be easy. We're going to see in a little bit, it's not always easy in the church. But we've said this before, and I think it always bears repeating, there are not many things in life that are really, really worthwhile that are easy. And this is something that I would imagine that is hard for people who only grew up in the era of technology and cell phones. Everything is quick, just about. But if you ask a lot of people, what's the most important thing in your life? A lot of times they'll say, oh, my relationships, oh, my friendships, oh, my marriage. None of that stuff is quick, is it? All of it takes time. And so if we are looking forward to the second coming, while it might not be easy, we will wait well. Much of the Christian life is a waiting life. And the things that we are waiting for are often things that are designed by God to help us to grow, to help us in that progressive sanctification. It's a process. Nothing can hurry the reins. You mean you can't be going out there and say, you know what? I really want to start my summer early. I'm going to go out in January and tell God, hey, make it rain. No, you can't do that. You see, the point is you can't hurry the reins and you can't hurry the second coming. Yet we are to work and to pray as we patiently, actively, and confidently wait for the Lord. Remember, waiting does not mean we do nothing. Waiting is what we do while we are waiting for the Lord to do what he does. For the farmer, it's what he does while he is waiting for the rains. But it's not just the rain. Again, it's the timing of the rain. And it's God's timing. And so far, the people who have been date setters on the return of Jesus are batting 1,000. They have been wrong 1,000% of the time. They have been wrong 100% of the time. Now, some of you know this already. If you're new to us, you don't know this. I do know when the Lord is coming back. I 100% lock solid in the bank know when he's coming back. Right on time. That's when he's coming back. And that's all I really need to know. I'm actually quite comfortable with that, but that's about it. But I do know this. While we are waiting, we are to be busy with kingdom work, serving God's purposes until the second coming. Now, when we come to verse 8, it's really the application of verse 7. I want to read it twice. He says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So let's go a little slower. He says, you also be patient. Patient like what? Like the farmer. But let me ask you a question. Why do you think James is telling us to be patient? Because we tend to be impatient. Even people 2,000 years ago tended to be impatient. And who are we often the most impatient with? God. I mean, I know a lot of people that all they're talking about is just Jesus come back, Jesus come back, Jesus come back. They're looking at their watch all the time like, "What? Where are you? Come on, hurry it up." But the Lord has work for all of us to do here. So he says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. J.B. Phillips said, be patient, resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty that the Lord's coming is very near. James tells us now, it's important that we are all actively waiting for the Lord. Patient? Absolutely. Lazy? Absolutely not. Not lazy at all. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a parable about a farmer that was waiting for his crop, and he was working the fields and doing everything he had to do. And Jesus said, the farmer did not know how it grows. Back then, they didn't know how it grew. Yet, as you gardeners know, while you're waiting for, after you put the seed and you water the ground, there is work to be done to keep the soil right. You're probably putting some sort of fertilizer or something on it to help it to grow, and you're pulling the weeds. We might say in our own lives, as we're waiting for the crop to come up, if we want to talk about fertilizing, we want to talk about feeding ourselves the Word of God, doing the spiritual disciplines, Word of God, prayer, fellowship, coming to church with other people, worshiping God. But we also want to be pulling the weeds in our lives. What are the weeds? Those are the sins that easily ensnare us, the sins that pull us away from God. That active part, James says here in verse 8, is establishing your heart. Another version says it is strengthening your heart. Another version says it is standing firm. In other words, like we saw in the book of Ephesians, it is strengthening your inner man, your inner woman, so you can stand firm, unmoved by the troubles and the temptations of life. Or when you are moved, you are quick to bounce back. This is gaining strength for the journey of life. Again, many people would say the Lord could come back at any moment. I don't disagree with them. But people have been saying that for 2,000 years. We'll talk about that in a second. So we don't know how long we have, so we want to be strengthened on the inner man, the inner woman, developing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But in order to do that, we're going to have the right priorities. That doesn't mean you can never relax. It doesn't mean you can never have fun. But we need to have our priorities right. All of this happens through, again, the spiritual disciplines as we work, as we fight against doubt, distraction. As we do all of that, God provides growth. You might say this is a fixed heart. It is a determined heart, a persistency to stay faithful. That is, to me, that is an incredible word for today. That your heart, that my heart would be fixed, would be determined, would be relentlessly persistent, that we are going to stay faithful today. Not only are we not going to go backwards in our faith, which is happening to many people right now, we're actually going to turn up the volume. We're going to move forward in our faith. This is a call to a consistent faith and a consistent faithfulness, battling hard. It's a hard battle against our hearts that drift so easily from consistency to inconsistency. It takes a lot more work to be consistent than it does to be inconsistent, doesn't it? But we have to fight that battle. This is the opposite of what James talked about earlier of being double-minded in chapter 1. Like the farmer is fixed on growth and on the harvest, we must be fixed on a sustained commitment to walking in the way of Jesus, not walking with our hearts that so easily pull us to self-indulgence. I think of the scriptures, one of the most, one of those verses that really lights my soul is Luke 9:51. It says this, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him," for Jesus, "to be received up." His ministry is over. It's time for the cross, the resurrection, and ascension to heaven. "That he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." In other words, Jesus had a personal resolve to do the will of God. He had a personal resolve to die on the cross in our place for our sins, and nothing was going to stop him. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When he says, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, another version says, giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, busying yourself with the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your labor will not be in vain. Why? We talked about it earlier. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is looking forward to talk to you about, to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. So why should we do all this? Well, let's go back to verse 8. He tells us at the end of verse 8, "For the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now, some of your versions say the coming of the Lord is near. So on the one hand, we have two things kind of going here. On the one hand, we have the second coming, the coming of the Lord. But we also have a teaching about the kingdom of God, that it is at hand, that it is near. Jesus and the other apostles taught the same thing, which has led many people, Bible skeptics, to conclude that they were wrong. Let me explain to you why I disagree with them. James right now, his purpose, and you always have to look at the purpose of why a Bible writer is writing and saying what he's saying. His purpose is so followers of Jesus in times of trouble do not lose heart as they confidently wait for the Lord's return. So the Bible critics, this is kind of how their thing goes. They're really not so critical of the second coming. The reason they're not so critical of the second coming is that would require them to disprove Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Now, there are many people who don't believe that, but there are not that many people who have very, very good evidence in their attempts to prove that. But where the critics claim the Bible is wrong, that Jesus was wrong, that the apostles were wrong, including James were wrong, is the Lord's coming when it says it is at hand or it is near. Some people say that means that they were teaching it would happen in the first century. Now, if you believe in the doctrine of imminency, it means that we believe that the Lord could come at any moment. And so believers all throughout history have believed that the Lord could come at any moment. But this verb is written in what we call the perfect tense, and it means that it is an ongoing result in the present. God is near in His time. He is close in His time. He is at hand in His time. Psalm 90, verse 4, Moses wrote these words, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." Another version says, like a few hours in the night. That's what 1,000 years is like to God. 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing." Another version says, don't let this escape you. You got to remember this, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack. Doesn't mean that he's not saying the Lord's not a slacker. The Lord is not slow, or the Lord is not delaying concerning His promise as some count slackness, as some count slowness. But why is the Lord near but not here, but is long-suffering? Some versions say patient toward us. Why? Not willing that any should perish, not willing that anyone should go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. This provides really another reason why we must strengthen our hearts, we must strengthen our inner man because of God's timing. At times, whether it's the second coming or fixing a situation or an answer to prayer, life can seem like an endless delay. But Jesus wants us to keep trusting, James wants us to keep trusting the Lord when the Lord's timing seems slow, and serving even when the results are not what we want. Now, clearly, the last days began with the cross and resurrection, the ascension into heaven, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, but they won't end until Jesus returns in glory. So for now, they are close and near. But the length of the last days is unknown.
Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love brings you the great hope of the gospel to equip you to reach others with this transforming message. In a world filled with fear and mistrust, Pastor Jim provides the path to freedom in a clear and transparent style. Changed by Love needs your help to reach thousands, including your friends and neighbors. Find out the ways you can team financially with Changed by Love by visiting our website at changedbyloveradio.org or call 862-217-9686. Pastor Jim would love to hear your story and how Changed by Love has impacted your life or someone you know. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thank you for spending time with Pastor Jim Kevney and Changed by Love.